Welcome to the Concordia Publishing House podcast, where we consider everything in the light of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm your host, Elizabeth Pittman.
Emotions are complicated, complex, and can often be quite overwhelming. On today's episode, we'll begin a three-part series with Heidi Gaiman, author of the new book, Emotions and the Gospel, Created for Connection. On this episode, we'll be jumping into a conversation where we consider our beliefs and the foundations around our emotions. But before we begin our conversation with Heidi, I'd like to thank our friends at the LCMS Foundation for their support of the podcast. Imagine a future where your God-given gifts continue to benefit your family and faith after you're called home to heaven. The LCMS Foundation can help you create your gift plan so that your assets, things like your retirement accounts, home, or land, will leave a lasting impact on the people you love and the ministries that you care about the most. Visit our friends at the LCMS Foundation at lcmsfoundation.org to learn more about creating your gift plan. And now on to our conversation with Heidi. Heidi, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
It's always fun to have you on the podcast with us to talk. And you have a wonderful ability to pull us out of our comfort zone at times as we think about things like emotions and mental health. And I'm glad that you're with us to start this mini series on emotions and how they connect us to our Creator.
Yeah, I think the three-part series will be really helpful because emotions can be a little uncomfortable, and we're going to unpack some really abstract concepts, I think, and then move more toward the more practical concepts that are centered around emotions. So this like mini series will allow us to do that.
No, I think it's going to be great. So before we get into some of the abstract concepts and kind of the foundational pieces, what are some of the questions that you hear from people as you're out and about and talking with folks about emotions and our faith and our relationship with God?
Mm-hmm. I think the most common ones revolve around the concept of whether God is angry with people about their emotions, if he is opinionated, if you will, about their emotions or has judgment toward their emotions. Almost all the questions funnel toward that, it seems. And I think that's one reason I really wanted to write a book that outlines some foundations of theology for our emotions, because people were very concerned about God's posture toward emotions. And, you know, we're going to get into the good gospel of all of that, but just like everything else, grace alone, God's word alone, faith alone, God is surrounded by those concepts, I think. And emotions is not outside of that. And so more than anything else, when people close the last page of the book, Emotions and the Gospel, Created for Connection, I want them to know that God leans in toward them and their emotions instead of away from them and their emotions. And in Jesus Christ, there is no shame. There is no judgment between us and God. Instead, that leaning in is filled with his grace and the goodness of his gospel, and all the holes, all the struggles, all the questions are filled with his mercy. And that is, I think, a message that our culture really needs about emotions right now in and outside the church and the Christian faith.
Well, and it's a message that we need to hear, and it's a message that I would argue we need to be reminded of, because, you know, it's really easy to feel good about things when things are going well and your emotions seem to be hitting on all the right cylinders, and then you have everything upended one day and all of a sudden you feel shattered, and you need that reassurance again.
Absolutely. You know, one of the major terms we use when we talk about is emotion is the term regulation, or regulation and dysregulation. And in any given day, we experience both those things. We always will, because we're human, because we live in brokenness, and we'll get into that. But at the same time, I think part of that has to be pulled back even just to our humanness, that we experience this sense of uncertainty, of discovery, of not being God and not quite understanding everything. And so that's where we find ourselves with our emotions too. So part of regulation is simply being curious and letting ourselves be a little upended at times so we can learn more about ourselves. And one of the things I promote in the book is that in doing that, we also find out more about God, and we go into scripture to find out about emotions. We find out about God, but then we also find out more about ourselves. And it's just this beautiful connectivity that comes uniquely through, I think, other things too, but emotions really strongly.
Well, and you're right. It is hard for us to let something go that we don't understand or that we can't control. And I've always found that when that happens, and I'm not good at this by any stretch, and it will take me a few steps to get there. But usually I'll realize, like, if I can just get to the root of understanding or thinking about the factors that come into that have led me to feeling a certain way, mm-hmm. and then I can come to terms with it and then finally get to where I can breathe again. Mm-hmm. But it's hard when you're in that moment of not understanding and feeling adrift, but we'll get through all of that as we go through. Why is it important, as we're thinking about emotions, that we understand the foundation? You know, in the first part of your book, you lay out some of the emotions foundations. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about those and why it's important that we kind of know what we're resting on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a person first that believes that we need a theology of everything, that we need an understanding, something to set our feet on, a foundation that God has given us about the air that we breathe and about the world that we look at and the relationships that we interact in. And our emotions are a huge piece of who we are. It's part of the heart, soul, mind, and strength, and touches in all of those things, and certainly touches in our spirit. And so I think having an understanding of who God is will always include emotions, because it is so deeply personal and connected to what we call sense of self, and biblically that heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then honestly, one of my favorite emotional foundations that I map out in the Bible is that God's emotional. And I don't think we think of him as emotional. And it's once you start opening scripture and start looking for it a little bit with understanding that there are parts of the Bible that are like not emotional, that almost leave us uncomfortable in their removedness from emotion at times. But just being curious and looking up what God has to say about emotion, how God experiences emotion, that gives us a stronger foundation of who God is. Instead of leaving that part of him out, I think that is maybe a little less comfortable, because emotions are something, when we get into the concept of mystery, emotions certainly apply there. And when we get into God's emotions, there's certainly a strong edge of mystery there. So when we do that, then we also need more foundations, like holding those things together. As Lutherans, we believe in law and gospel as, you know, part of our theological foundations. And so then we can apply that within emotions too, and hold those together as we look at God and his emotional experience. So I think moving into it, we will have a like much stronger and fuller idea of the God of the universe if we dare to look at emotions for a little bit.
I think we should be looking at those emotions and stretching ourselves, and it might be uncomfortable, but it will help us have a better understanding of how we were made and how we can mm-hmm. relate in our devotional life, our prayer life, our daily life.
I was just going to say that I think that that's also why the foundation matters, because we're going to stretch ourselves. God says, wait, there are some foundations here, and it's not unsafe. It's not totally uncomfortable, because it's me and I'm with you in this. And so to have the foundations that are who we know God to be and what he has done for us in his death and resurrection and sending the Holy Spirit as the helper, giving us the church and support in community and connection that way, then we can do that work, because there's a foundation that we have when we then go to put on the stair steps of learning more.
How is it, or is it helpful for us to consider emotions apart from how we're experiencing them and how we may see them play out in our day-to-day lives?
I think a little bit of objectivity always serves us well in our life instead of so much subjectivity, especially as we look at ourselves, as we look at God. As Christians, we certainly believe that God is invested, and so it is a little bit about us. When I open his word, he wants it to apply to my life. I believe that. But if that's all it ever is about me and application to me, then number one, I do think that can wreak some havoc in our relationship with God, because then we're always looking for him to fill our bucket, and it gets a little distorted in a broken world, because it's so unsatisfying in a broken world so often, and I'm so disappointed so often. And then when I feel those emotions, like you said, of disappointment or that scattering and the shattering and all of those deep, important, but painful things, well, where is my relationship with God left? So we want to be careful that we're not over applying everything to self. We also want to make sure that we live in a community of believers and that we're deeply invested in one another. And the coolest thing about emotions is we can see the work of that metaphor of the body of Christ more strongly than ever in our emotions, because that interlinking and interconnectivity is down to the cellular level. You know, we have mirror neurons that are reading each other as we have this conversation, because you and I can see each other on video even. And we're reading nonverbal signals and all of that stuff that feeds into how I'm feeling and my anxiety, as well as my comfort and the warmth that I feel coming from you. And that changes the nature of our conversation. And so the weakness and the strength that we see in the body of Christ and that connectivity is not completely dependent on our emotions, but it is included at the very least. So I don't think we want to miss that.
I don't think we would either. Would you say that we should consider our emotions as a gift from God?
100%. I'm pretty sure that's a quote in the book. Yeah, which, I mean, it's a hard
sell. I'm just trying to set you up.
I know, good job. I think that's a hard sell to some degree, because emotions feel, and I use that word scattered a lot, they do feel often scattered and a little bit outside of our control. I think we often want to control them and or believe they're controllable, or that's our job, is to wrestle and control them like a toddler.
Which doesn't work.
It doesn't. That's it. We're best served.
I'm picturing trying to wrench a toddler into a car seat that doesn't want to go into his car seat.
Yeah. No, like the back is all like stretched out and they're arching. Yeah.
They're wailing.
That is you trying to fight with your emotions on a daily basis. Instead, when we have a foundation that feels like the arms of Christ wrapped around us, no matter where we're at in that scattering and chaoticness of our emotions, that will leave us in a better place to then move through the emotion, which is the goal. And that will be for our next episode. We'll go through some of those methods. But to have that foundation matters, where my emotions are not toddlers. And it's okay that they are something about me that exists a tiny bit outside my understanding at times, and often are not within my control in a nice, neat package way, but are better when they're in my awareness and Jesus and I can deal with them together. That's really what we're going for emotional foundation, is that the gift of emotion is all connected to that gift of awareness God gave us in the Garden of Eden, and will, and all the things that make life a little bit messy. And so I do think that the gift is seen. Imagine life best with what we call a negative imagery. So like, imagine life without emotion. Just imagine. Can you even?
How it would be like all color was drained from everything.
Ooh, that's a good metaphor. Look at you. We should have, maybe that's why there's so many colors on the cover, right? Like, because they do bring color.
Mm-hmm. I think it would leave everything back at a line art phase of things, mm-hmm. where there's no shading and no degree of life to it. It would be really dull.
Yeah, I also think it helps people to imagine your deepest relationships. So maybe raising a child or being loved by someone in intimacy that feels safe. So, you know, if that is your relationship with God, awesome, because that's exactly what we're going for here in Christ Jesus, is to have that intimacy. And then imagine if you didn't get to share pain with them, you only shared joy and happiness and calm and relaxation and contentment. I think that it will be a glorious thing when Jesus comes back and we get to live in those things in a way we just can't even understand. However, for now, if our relationships only included that half, they would be very shallow relationships, right? Instead, any day I would rather sit with someone in their struggle and their sorrow and have my teenage son share that with me than to be absent of those things. And I think that's one thing. That's why it's, you know, created for connection. The gift of emotion is that they're connecting in so many ways.
Absolutely. So how can, you were just talking about how they can help us connect to other people and have those connections. How can our emotions connect us to our Creator?
I think that idea that we talked about earlier on in resting in the arms of Jesus, I think emotions both bring us to feel the most in life of what life is, right? And so a mountaintop experience of the Holy Spirit, if you will, I'm not saying apart from God's word or anything like that. And I'm definitely speaking of our life as baptized children. However, imagine even the experience of the Spirit without emotions. That is a part of his work, I think, in a really strange and mysterious way that God does work. Now, can we take that too far? Can our relationship with God be dependent on our emotions? That's not healthy either. And so we want to make sure that the emotion is seen as a connector to God. And in doing that, I think those arms of Jesus metaphor is the most helpful way I can help people understand the health of connecting with God in our emotions is that I have a place to rest in no matter how I'm feeling. I have help regulating. I have the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. I have the bread and wine. I have the sacraments as these physical things of God that can help get me to a place where I am connected to him when I feel sorrow, when I feel joy, whatever I feel, to get back to that regulated place. I do think that's part of the gifts that God gives us in his word and sacraments. When I open scripture or I speak to someone and they share something with me that I just needed that week, that's an emotional experience. And so I think the gifts of God are emotionally regulating and those connect us when we lean into that. When we have an awareness built of our emotions and that they are linked to God, we'll start to see them. It's not even something we have to work at. It's just like, oh, emotions in God? Oh, really? And then it takes no time at all to be like, oh, emotions in God. And I think that's the coolest part. Again, just like everything else, God's the one doing all the work. I can simply like open my eyes. It's like, makes me think of one of those moments of Paul and Saul and the scales falling from his eyes. I think we have many experiences like that in our life, and emotions and them being connected to God are one of them, I hope, for people at least.
You describe a process-oriented approach to emotions. In a nutshell, what does that look like for us?
This has to do with one of the emotion foundations, that our emotions are not products. It's not a determining factor about who we are. They don't really say much about us. They're a sensory experience, really, a nervous system response. It's way more complicated than that. It has a lot to do with, like I said, all of our systems and the interaction of our body, its experiences in this world, our mental acuity, stamina. I think even things like brain fog and stuff impact how we feel, like COVID, you know, you name it, it impacts how we experience that. And so I think to be able to see that my emotions are a way that I learn about myself, a way that I can connect to God, and he does connect to me, whether I see it or not. I think that that is a better place to be than actually regulating by itself then, instead of me kind of white knuckling or pushing against the emotions all the time to try to shove them down somewhere or throw them out at something so that I can get rid of them or not experience the ones that are unpleasant, or I'm always maybe trying to get to the one that's so pleasant. If it's a product, it's not a great relationship for me to have, I think, spiritually. Spiritual freedom and growth, even spiritual practices, better understood as processes that just are rhythms, if you will, in our life, and are also ways that God brings us along the journey and brings his grace into everything in our days.
There's so much to unpack, and I hope that our listeners will go download the preview of Emotions in the Gospel Created for Connection, because there's so much there to think through about our emotions and how we're created. On the next episode, part two of our little series here, we're going to talk about some of the common misconceptions surrounding emotions. So I hope our listeners will tune back in for that. But before we wrap up today, leave our listeners with a bit of an assignment. What kind of challenge or assignment would you have for our listeners as they think about or experience emotions in the coming days?
Absolutely. I think since we're talking emotion foundations, a great assignment for this segment would be to open scripture. You could do it at random and just see what emotions you find on the page. And I mean, even flat out words that are emotional, emotion adjacent or whatever. You don't even have to like put in your own lens of emotions, but just see what's on the page there. Don't have any opinions about them, but just be curious about it. And I think that's a good place to start. If it helps, turn to one of the Gospels to do that, because Jesus is a man. He experienced the fullness of humanity while still being divinity and God himself. And so it's a safer place sometimes for us to be attached to this idea of God being emotional. And so just open and see what emotions you see on the page and be curious about it. I, in fact, would love if anyone, you know, gets in contact with us and tells us a little bit about what they found.
That'd be awesome. So listeners, there you've heard it. There's your assignment for the coming days. Crack open your Bible and grab a highlighter, grab a colored pencil, and kind of mark up those emotional words that you find. Heidi, as always, it's fun to talk with you. I always learn something and give me things to think about. For our listeners, if they head to cph.org/emotions, they will be taken to the page where you can download a sample of the book and learn more about emotions and the gospel created for connection. And we'll look forward to the next episode in our three-part series where we uncover the misconceptions surrounding emotions.
Mm-hmm. See you next time.
So, thanks, Heidi. Till next time, everyone.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Concordia Publishing House podcast. I pray that this time was valuable to your walk with Christ. We'd love to connect with listeners on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Concordia Pub. Visit cph.org for more resources to grow deeper in the gospel.